Welcome to the Shutdown Foolcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall, something I did not say last episode when I was introducing everybody. Round the horn here in order of decreasing distance. Ryan, you're all the way over there in Nashville. How are you?
I've had a trying week, but I know you want to get through your introduction, so I'll save it.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, what happened?
We're going to get to that, he said. We also have Jason Kirk. Say hello, Jason.
Hi, I have completed the Taco Bell $28 challenge today. So,
did you?
Oh wait, we have to hear about this.
Okay. We will also get details on that.
Focus. Look at him.
Expressing curiosity.
We also got a reader voicemail about the $28 challenge.
Ooh, fascinating. We have a lot to discuss, Holly. She is, and our producer,
look at
Michael Ray Server, joining us.
What I believe I've introduced everybody. Holly, there she is.
This is
goddamn.
She doesn't want any more than that.
But wow,
he declared.
Do you order for at restaurants too?
Sometimes
the lady will have.
Sometimes
for the lady, I think
the lady will have saltines and a glass of warm water.
For the lady, I think Baja Blast.
I need you to bring her a jug of shine and a prime rib.
Listen, we all know my purpose on this podcast is to sit here, play video games, and show up on a list that means you don't have an all-dude podcast and therefore can get into South By.
They would never invite us.
And occasional death.
They did twice!
And peppered,
no, that was unofficial South By.
Carefully peppered death threats. That's all.
We did go to... South near southwest.
Yeah.
Can I try something real quick here with you, Spencer and Holly?
Oh, please, God,
yes. You can try, yeah.
Spencer, you're going to Crystal. You're picking up lunch, and you're ordering for Holly, but you can't contact her. What is your order?
Ryan, we need a special proviso. What time is it?
Yeah, what time is it?
Let's say the noon.
Okay,
so we're past breakfast because otherwise we have an established breakfast order.
Yes, and right. And Holly has evangelized Crystal breakfast very effectively, in my opinion. But I just want to see how well you understand what you should be getting here.
Well, for lunch, it's a little squirrely because usually, I'm going to say this like full transparency, I don't know. Because I know the breakfast order back and forth. I can guess, and I think I guess with some accuracy.
He's actually correct because I don't eat lunch at Crystal. This is a trick question.
Yeah, I have to figure
Crystal's
out.
Crystal's only a breakfast stop for me.
It's challenging because I know she's not in particular a fan of the like soggy slider. That's not like not a big thing. So
is that the name of it?
I'm going to go ahead and
you can decline.
Get the answer right.
I think that's
get
the right
get
answer.
The answer right by declining.
Mm. Okay. Wow. Good job.
Yeah. And what she can order for me is anything.
Crystal chicks. I'll get you crystal chicks.
Because I'm a garbage scal. Yeah. You can just pile it on.
We haven't talked about the side chick thing, have we?
We have not.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Just really proud of Crystal for deciding that that's their marketing campaign.
This was after the Trap House Crystal was established in Atlanta. It's still going. I miss
get
the crystal
you some strange at Crystal.
I miss the crystal by my old house. It is the most lockstep crystal I've ever seen. Shout out to Miss Tanya.
I say when you order some strange at Crystal, that means make me whatever you want.
When you order some strange at Crystal, you get an actual cheeseburger.
I think that's where
this
they go.
This rotisserie chicken. How did this come here?
Mini
I'll
corn
have the
dog
most philanderous chicken you got.
If Crystal had mini corn dogs, I would try that.
Yes, hi, Crystal. I'd like to order a lunch that can ruin my family. What do you have for me?
Oh, so many
I'll have
things.
The adultery slider, please.
I want to see the meetings where they had to talk through everybody who had to be talked through. Like, was this a hard process or was everybody at Crystal like, this fucking rocks? Absolutely.
I think what it was? Is it was like, I swear to God, if you tell the boss what this actually means, I'm going to beat your ass. Mm-hmm. Not a fucking
dude,
word.
Dude, you're ruining it.
Mm-hmm. All it means is a side of chicken. Don't tell him.
It's good because it draws a more effective line between, like, Chick-fil-A is very much like, hey, we're the restaurant for family of a certain kind. Yeah. And basically, if you come here, we'll adopt you as our son, and we'll get you nice presents on Christmas. And and Crystal's all like, hey, you want to fuck around? Hey, man.
It's Sunday. You're in this, it's you're Sunday in this and you need chicken.
It's steamy.
Chick-fil-A won't know.
I think that's the act. Yeah, like that's it. Every time you go to Crystal, by the way, it's an admission of guilt. I think that's sort of the basic semantic backbone of all of this.
You should pay a Bobby Petrino lookalike to pull up to, in one of these commercials, pull up to the restaurant on a motorcycle with a neck brace.
Yeah, put something hot in my mouth.
I'll take three side chicks, please.
You think you could fit all those on your bike?
Yeah.
Why? Hey, let's talk about real food. Jason, Taco Bell challenge?
Yeah, I did the easy mode. I did the easiest possible order to complete this is simply three Doritos Locos Supreme combos, which comes, it's nine tacos, and that's it. It feels like cheating, honestly. It's going to come out to about 1,700 calories. Okay, so you're getting
that's
almost
not
all
bad.
Of your, yeah, like say you're a person.
It's a Michael Phelps breakfast.
Yeah, say you're trying to get most of your calories of the day in at once. Boom, a large amount of it was not the calories, but of the total pile was lettuce, tomato, sub some beef out for chicken, potato, beans. Like it's basically a big salty salad.
And Jason, did the quantity of liquid that came with that make you founder at all? That would be my concern.
Liquid in what sense?
Is consuming that many drinks would be my concern.
Well, I decided it fits within the rules if I simply save two of them.
Okay.
I didn't consider I needed to down all three. But like three sodas is like, you know, I'm from America. That's nothing. Three Mountain Dews. So, I mean, that's what you drink before coffee around here.
So you're supposed to get a recommended 2,300 milligrams of salt a day. You just consumed how many tacos, Jason?
Nine Doritos Locos Supremes.
Okay, nine. So let me just go ahead and do a little quick math here. That's you are good. You shouldn't just don't. Don't lick any salty rocks for the next day and a half.
Okay.
And you'll be fine.
Would you like to hear from, I'm not going to play the voicemail because the quality wasn't great, but we had a reader who wrote in regarding the $28 Taco Bell story. This is Brian from 262. We won a trivia contest at our college and the top prize of the $50 Taco Bell gift card. And the problem with winning this as a trivia team is you have to deal with the hassle of splitting it up. We decided to go expend it all at once for five of us. And we were listing off the order in the drive-thru. We got halfway through and the worker audibly said, "Jesus Christ, there's more food." Eventually, we did get our order. They threw the bag at us and said, "Please call ahead next time." You made Taco Bell quit. Congratulations to you, Brian.
Well done.
Taco Bell begging you to call ahead.
My single favorite Taco Bell experience was on a road trip a few years ago when they were three orders behind somehow. The entire drive-thru line, everyone is getting on the cars and going back in because they got somebody else's order. So then they're just like, "I don't give a shit. Here, has another bag." So everyone was walking out with two more bags. And it was very clearly everyone was high as fuck. And the manager
just Popeyes the Taco
like,
Bell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone did. Yeah, like everyone is getting double orders. The manager was just like, "I do not give a fuck. Let's just get through this day. These teenagers are so fucking high." It was awesome. It was like,
this is the you're describing the miracle of the loaves and fish.
Exactly. Precisely. The miracle of the truffle fries and
the loaves and the cinnamon twists.
Chalupas and fish.
I would also like to contest to our caller, not to our caller, I guess to Taco Bell. If you called ahead at Taco Bell, no one would take. I'm not confident
they're answering. Who answers the phone at a Taco Bell?
Oh, no.
And, like, they're not taking you serious. They're not going to take you seriously.
We have a party of somewhere between like 4 and 12.
I think.
Depends on who shows.
And our, also, that, and means, our, and our dogs. That means you have to know what you want before you get there.
Yeah, right. I cannot imagine Taco Bell is like, yes, absolutely, let me write this down and start
fucking write
this
that down
for you. Absolutely not.
Boop, beep, boop, I'm putting it in the computers we have.
Okay, I'm gonna set this aside for you.
Right. It'll definitely still be here. I'm definitely not eating it right now. Idiot.
No, it'll be fresh. Don't worry.
And then you have to look at this person face to face when you enter the Taco Bell and you're the fucking weirdo who called ahead.
Yes, hello. I called 3 days ago.
I have come to collect what is mine on the agreed upon date.
Man, what does 3 days ago mean to a Taco Bell? Time has meaning to a Taco Bell.
You've been working 300 days. Like, they were not here at the time.
Sorry, man. We turned over the staff twice since you.
Yeah. So one of them just died.
That was like 4 managers ago. I don't even know.
There was a day when this was a church's chicken in between.
It was yesterday.
We're a bank tomorrow. Like, he showed up.
The true nature of capitalism is that any building can become a Taco Bell instantly. Yes. Right?
Especially now that they've abandoned their geographical silhouette. You can't disguise it like you could a Pizza Hut.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. I was going to say, the capitalism is every building turning from a Taco Bell to something else, from a Pizza Hut to something else into a Taco Bell.
Yeah. So you show up for your...
There was a jeweler in my... What's the weirdest Pizza Hut convert you've ever seen? There was like the fancy jewelry shop in my hometown for a long time at Pizza Hut. And everybody knew.
I love the Pizza Hut funeral home so much. It's like... It turns the roof into like a traditional demon warding temple roof.
Yeah, it does. The demons... No, it's true. The angels are all contained in the top and the demons fly right off the side coming down. Yeah.
It's just
simple aerodynamics, yeah.
Be gone, demon, to the TCBY with you.
next door to the subway from whence you came.
The country's best Yogoff.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that
God
was a dunk.
Damn it.
I want to know, like, has there been a moment where somebody's like, yeah, listen, this funeral is really nice, but you guys need to be done at 2:00. Because then it becomes the Taco Bell. And then, like, you're walking through, just let me say goodbye to Grandpa, and all of a sudden you hear, bomb!
No. It's fine. We called ahead and made the Taco Bell order for the funeral, for the wake.
Oh, shit. We can cook.
Oh, my God. Bringing, like, a
7. That's cool. That's when I wake up.
Mm-hmm. I've never rolled up to a funeral with, like, a 20 box of tacos, but... Now I kind of want to.
For mine, please do that.
I really hope on the next Taco Bell.
Please tell
Bell
us
earnings.
If you've taken Taco Bell to a repast.
For whom the Taco Bell tolls.
I hope on the next Taco Bell earnings call. I hope on the next earnings call they're like, oh yeah, thanks to influencers, profits were up like 3%.
Thanks to influencers.
Just off people who wanted to see if they could eat $28 worth of our slop.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're going to be like, thanks to smartasses who saw 8 seconds of Fox News, profits are through the roof.
That's why we're paying Jim Cramer to unveil the $64 Taco Bell challenge in Q2.
Was it kind of secretly gratifying watching sports blogs blog this and be like, yeah, we're pioneers. Like sitting back and pointedly not blogging at ourselves and being like, ah, our kingdom. I felt like Thanos looking out over the garden.
The other part I liked is that the reaction pattern to this seemed to be like, what the fuck? How'd you spend $28 to Taco Bell? About when the whole premise was like inflation. And then everybody went and looked at the Taco Bell menu and some people like me hadn't looked at it in a while and you were like, oh damn, this did get a little pricey. Taco Bell used to be like the thing you would bid on first in a Price is Right game, where it'd be like, what costs more, this box of toothpicks or 5 Taco Bell burritos?
You're like, burritos.
the whole Santa Barbara crowd, burritos.
But if you still want to party like the old days, you simply go get 28 cheesy rice and bean burritos for a stiff 12,000 calorie meal.
Hey,
with 2 weeks worth of sodium.
I call it the Lot's wife.
you will be married to Lot after this experience.
You will
be married to a Lot.
you will not be standing still, though.
Oh, no. Well, you'll be in, it'll be in one place for a while. You'll just be seated. Some say she's still sitting there to this day.
Like, obviously, the bathroom trip after that version of the $28 meal is excruciating. But I want you to imagine the sleep. That has to be the most uncomfortable night of sleep you'll ever have.
Do you mean physically or, like, spiritually?
Both. All of the above.
Okay.
What, like, if it wasn't, though? What if it's the best night of sleep of your life?
Oh, no. Then you're ready. Oh, my God. Then you're time to learn something.
I got to call Pete Carroll. He's going to love this.
I saw some weird shit. I think, like, your body is so salted and dehydrated that you just kind of lay there and yeah, that's it.
We should have had my brother on this week.
Is he a Taco Bell expert?
Oh, no. I was just thinking about his past romance with Papa John's.
Oh, yeah.
Cerber, I don't think you were on the show when we talked about this, but at one point right after college, my baby brother in his first grown-up apartment received a... had ordered so much pizza from Papa John's so constantly that they left a poinsettia arrangement on his doorstep at Christmas. Like, he didn't order a pizza. They just brought him flowers.
Damn.
Yeah.
His whack-ass cousin Jimmy won't do that for you no matter how many sandwiches you get.
Dude, this was in Aiken, too. I'm like, Papa John's has to comprise at least 30% of the dining options there. He's got to be in an elite tier.
Yeah, but if you order enough Jimmy John's, then the owner himself will show up.
Oh, I don't want that. I like sharks.
Is it
Jimmy John's or Jersey Mike's that has Danny DeVito as the spokesman now?
I think it's Jersey Mike's.
I keep seeing it because bizarrely something called Jersey Mike's has become like a relentlessly promoted SEC sponsor.
Yes, right. No disrespect, Jersey Mike's, but anyone who has watched any recent season of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia has not seen Danny DeVito, is his character in that, and been like, ah, yes, I'd like to take food advice from that man.
Yes, that guy.
counterpoint, rum ham.
But they don't serve it. You can't order that at Jersey Mike's.
Not yet.
All you have to do is bring a little mini bop. Listen, with prior preparation, any ham can be a rum ham. Mm.
Hey, listen, I'm kind of struggling today. Can you whip me up some Kahlua turkey just real quick?
Sounds tremendous.
Yeah, no.
It's about time to start talking Thanksgiving recipes.
I'm hearing nothing but good ideas. By the way, I wanted to complete the pitch for Taco Bell that they already have had fourth meal to bring to funerals. The Taco Bell funeral pack.
Fourth and final meal.
From James 1:15, that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin.
I'm here to deliver your last bites.
Yes, I'm here to give you the damnation 12-pack of tacos.
Oh, man, you could, like, rub the Doritos dust from your fingers onto the top of the coffin.
From Dorito dust you came.
How'd they know? The branding's already there, I'm saying. It can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, I had a question.
The coolest ranch is... What? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was going to ask Ryan. He said he's had a difficult week. I was wondering if he wanted to get that off his chest.
Sure. I want to start by asking you each a question. As best as you can recall, and you can sort of ballpark it here, what is the first cuss that you were aware of and used as a young child? Spencer, let's start with you.
Shit.
It's 1930.
Yep.
The first word they used was the damn Spaniards.
Is shit yours?
Shit. Yeah, it was okay. Shit. And I remember the exact tone and usage of shit came from Smokey and the Bandit 2.
Okay. Cerber, what was your first childhood cuss, if you can remember?
I do remember. I was in the car with my mom and grandmother, and I called Barney a motherfucker.
Not wrong.
Okay.
Smart.
We're going to come back to that, because that's actually making me feel a little better. Holly.
I cannot wait to find out what Nora has done.
Yeah.
But I grew up with extremely puritanical parents regarding language and a couple other things. And I said hell in what was I thought was an inquisitive context in the privacy of our own home. And hoo boy, did I catch H-E-L-L for that.
Good. Okay. Jason.
I'm not sure which happened first. I was in the bathtub, and I was old enough to bathe myself, but not so old that my mom would just, like, leave me to it. Like, she would sit nearby while I bathed myself. And I remember I took a bar of soap, and I said, "Now I'm going to wash my shit." And I don't know if I even knew that was a real word or I was just being silly. But, like, yeah, that probably went a long way to, like, what TV I was allowed to watch later on. The other one was me and my dad were playing, like, Army Men or something like that. And, like, you know, it's, like, it's all very pretend damage systems. Like, I think I've defeated that guy of yours, but no, you haven't because he had the whatever. And I was getting really frustrated. I couldn't beat one of his units, blow up his tank or whatever it was. And I said, "Well, how am I supposed to kill the fucking thing?" I have no idea where I'd even heard that word. Like, there was absolutely no normal pop culture in our house whatsoever. And that's not even a word that, like, was, you know, going to be anywhere. I had to have heard it in real life somewhere.
You got it osmotically through the air.
I'm guessing I heard it on, like, MARTA public transit in Atlanta. Like, that's probably where I heard it. I don't know how I knew that that was the correct way to use it, but
you used it really well.
Yeah.
Ryan, can I add one more story that is my mother's favorite story from 40 years as a public educator?
Absolutely.
So her office at the school where she spent most of her career was directly across from the school counselor, who is my auntie. They both had their doors open, so it was not uncommon for her to hear, you know, children being brought in to the counselor for one infraction or another. And there was this kid who was on her caseload, who was a kindergartner, who had called another little girl, who had called the little girl a bitch on the playground. And the counselor, so he's brought in, and the counselor is trying to get him to explain what he has done so they could talk about it. And she's like, you know, did you call Stephanie a bad name? And he's just kind of, it's like, did you call her a bad word? And the kid's just staring blankly, nothing's getting through. And she's like, did you call her a B word? Do you remember that? And he goes, B word. And she said, B word, like B sounds, buh, buh. And he goes, buh, buh, motherfucker?
Mm-hmm. Ba ba motherfucker.
So then, of course, they have a new problem because they can't laugh at this.
Sure. But, yeah. Yes. So you.
Anyway,
sort of,
go Vols. Yeah. Is the point of that story?
This was the week that my daughter, while spiraling over something and getting frustrated, we heard her yell, "I'm such a fuck," and we had to sit down and be like, okay, cool, let's talk about this. So my wife sits her down and is like, all right, this is a word you know now. And I think much like Felder has talked about on Hand in the Dirt, our approach has been like, let's talk about when and where you should use this word. Because if we just sort of, especially with my daughter, if we sort of say like, no, absolutely not, like it'll turn up more and more. So we walk through like, if you say it at school, this is what's going to happen. If you say it with your grandparents, whatever. And then my wife's like, well, you know, sometimes I get frustrated and I use this word. Like she had to get a cortisone shot in her ankle earlier this year because she sprained it really bad and had to get treatment for it. And she said, and it hurt a lot. And I said it at the woman who was giving me the shot because I was frustrated. And my daughter looks at my wife and just says, "You're a very angry woman."
And all
of this is just trying not to laugh so we don't encourage this kid. But I guess my thing is like, fuck is such an aggressive like first entry. I feel like you're supposed to have a more normal hell damn shit sort of slower entry path.
She took the Candyland shortcut.
I mean, the fact that Cerber led with motherfucker, I think you're her uncle now, so congratulations to you, Captain. But yeah, it's been a trying time to sort of. I will say there was one positive. We asked her like, "Where'd you hear this word?" And she learned it at theater camp, which is the which is really deeply important.
Yes, yes, girl.
And I think my wife and I talked, and we decided that the most positive thing to take from this experience was she didn't learn it from us, which seemed like a highly likely possibility. And that it wasn't us is, like, off our play a little bit.
Ooh, sorry. I need to drop another story in, because this one just happened. My mother brought my oldest niece, who is about to be 10, down last week for a visit to, you know, go to the aquarium, go to the botanical gardens and do stuff. Doing a fall break trip with Nana. And it was all going great until the first night of the trip, when Mom found in a stack of things I had not yet finished unpacking, found our Mealborn game, which is a card game that inevitably results in fist fights in my family. And Mom is sitting across from me with my niece, and I'm sorry, I'm trying not to say names, you don't have to bleep anything else out. And she's teaching her how to play the game and go along. And we get about 3 minutes into the game before my mom starts openly encouraging my niece, who again is 10, to attack me with her attack cards and not my mother. About the third time that Mom encouraged to attack me and not mother, I folded my cards down on the table and I just said, Nana cheats, and so you really need to watch out for her. Now, this is true.
Yeah.
My mother is a famous and very skilled cheater at family card games, and her power against this, her reaction to all of this is just to, because, you know, we bring this up all the time. My brother and I bring this up all the time. This is a long-running family gag, and her strategy to combat this is first to act wounded. Mm-hmm. And then to do something completely underhanded and awful to ruin mm-hmm. whatever you're doing in the game that you're playing. Like, she'll attack you for the rest of the game, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And she'll, you know, we'll be playing Uno and she'll have 16 cards in your hand and we'll be like, oh, Mom, how could you? And she'll be like, what are you talking about? That's so hurtful. And lay down like 16 draw fours.
How did you get a draw 15? What the fuck?
We don't know. So I put my cards down and I lean over and I'm like, Nana cheats, and you need to know that. And before my mother could even get a gasp out, my niece goes, my daddy says that all the time. she was not prepared for the opening of the next generation to be ultimately open.
You're the second source now.
I could not have scripted it better. It was so beautiful. It was such a beautiful moment. I really hope my mom doesn't listen to this.
We can confirm that Nana cheats the cards.
We can go with this.
The biggest problem that I have found now, knowing that my daughter knows the word fuck, excuse me, is it's very tempting to weaponize that now. Like, my wife's aunt and uncle, who are very nice people, who love our daughter a lot, and they have a very good relationship, they both went to Alabama. And so we both decided, like, it would be really funny if when we showed up to their house for Thanksgiving or whatever, if Nora walks in the door and is like, hey, Uncle Tom, how about them fucking balls? Like, I don't think he would know what to do.
How you fucking
That's
doing?
Beautiful.
But it's fine. It's good.
I don't think Nick Saban's the fucking man for this job, Uncle Tom.
So the problem
what's with all the fucking penalties?
Yeah, but
sorry.
You know, he'd probably be like, right? Right? Mm-hmm. Like,
right. Yeah, that's true. I think if you took it in a certain direction, you could get an Alabama fan having a serious conversation with a 6-year-old.
You know what?
Who's the youngest Feinbaum caller?
Young lady, that is an astute fucking observation.
It's about fucking time somebody says
it. It's about fucking time. Yeah, that's right.
Somebody said it. How this generation fucking gets it.
How's this little girl saying what we're all afraid to say?
Some of you motherfuckers should not be listening to the youths.
I'm going to call her Joan of Arcadelphia because she will lead the way toward regime change at the University of Alabama, because we will not lose 2 games a year.
Kindergartners, they get the basics. Bill O'Brien, he don't understand shit.
Jeez. Mm-hmm. my kid, I don't know if she's ever cussed in her life. It's for aesthetic reasons. Like,
it's not her vibe.
Yeah, like, it is definitely not like any sort of puritanical thing. She's been to church like twice in her life, I think.
But she's just like too chill.
The funny thing that we ended up having is all of her cousins are incredibly churchy. Half of them call shut up the S word. Then what is shit? You know? Yeah. Yeah. It's like that level. One of them, while she was over here, one of her oldest cousins is kind of in on the joke and playing along with it. So she decided, instead of the C word, crap, I'm going to say crepe. like the food item.
Yeah.
We had angry Wisconsin mom.
Ah, crepe. Yeah. So then we had so much fun just yelling out the name of this food that now all of them just say crepe when they're angry. Yeah. It's great. Like even my kid, like who... I wouldn't give a fuck if she said, ah, shit, but she says, ah, crepe, sincerely now, because the joke is now, that's a good enough word. It's pretty awesome.
Have you found
these
yourself
cousins
doing
live
it?
In the good place. It's great.
Yeah. I'm so much more disturbed by people who go to elaborate lengths not to curse, because then you end up just...
It's still in your heart, man. What do you think you're doing?
Yeah, you just end up, instead of holding up a sign that says, I want to murder you, right? You hold up a very shittily scrawled out hug written over the murder. I can still see the murder behind there.
I see what you're saying, but there's nothing funnier than somebody like something bad happens to someone. They like stub their toe really bad, or they drop like a vase and it shatters. And instead of saying like fuck, they're like, oh, God bless America, or cheese and crackers.
Oh, that's my dad's. My dad is a huge God bless America guy.
That's so much funnier than somebody
which he doesn't say in any other context. Like, he's not a guy who runs around saying God bless America on the regular. It is just a cuss.
Ah, yes. Crackers.
Oh,
yes. Horse feathers. Yeah, like, that's so much more disturbing to me when you turn into, like...
I think it's much funnier because it shows you like how you're seeing how a person's brain is wired, because my mom doesn't cuss that much, but if she gets really mad or if something like really startling happens, she will. But what I'm describing are the people who have so successfully wired their brains that like it's not I'm doing this because like that is their heart is saying God bless America. That is their truest reaction.
It's wonderful. Yeah, it's not even like you see a fucking ghost and you say horse feathers, right?
Jiminy
like,
Christmas.
That's not like I am actively self-editing myself so I don't offend the ghost. The actual word that is coming out is cheese and crackers or whatever.
Yes. This is why I want
that
to
is funny as fuck.
Yes. Ghost is over here like, who are you fucking fooling?
I want to shoot a mob movie where everybody replaces their profanities, like do Goodfellas. But or Donnie Brasco.
You call it Goodfellas Jr. and you make it a stage version that kids can perform.
This is a television edit you're describing.
Right. You film the movie as the television edit.
Yeah, you film that. But like,
I see.
But you use only the most deliberate old time. Okay, so one of my most despised characters ever is in The Grapes of Wrath. Is the grandfather in the Joad family who's like, I'm gonna go to California.
Everybody in that
grapes.
Book except the turtle sucks.
Right. And I fucking hate him because he's a fucking moron, right? Because he so clearly doesn't understand he's about to die, and he's so clearly like, everything's going to be good because I can have food. And I hate him. I don't know why I hate him. I have a contempt for this loathsome
character. Fuck you and meeting your basic needs.
I know.
There's a dude who would love the $28 Taco Bell.
He would.
Oh, I heard in California you can eat $28 worth of Taco Bell.
Like, I just want to shoot
it. Imagine how far it would have gone in those days.
Like, when Grandpa can't hack it and he dies, I'm so happy.
That's not what John Steinbeck wanted. And then Papa found $28 worth of Taco Bell and we ate all winter.
God, he's just dark.
Like, anytime in a book where they're like, here's the obvious weak link, and he's definitely going to die, I'm like, get it over with. Tedium. Bored already. Here, throw him off the boat.
The Gospel of Mark is the gospel for you, Spencer. Like, this guy's going to die. He's dead.
Dead. Go get it over
shit,
with.
He's back. Well, he's gone.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I have a list of to-do items, okay? And on this island, Piggy's got to die right now. None of this foreshadowing. Just kill him, okay? Don't be the regional manager to the...
Spencer had a plan. It's like, I see it. I see Chekhov's gun. Somebody's
I get so
and shoot
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Just do it.
I'll do
it's
it
right
if you
there.
Don't. I'll do you're it like, if you don't.
You're like audience Patti LuPone.
Uh huh.
Which is a joke you don't understand, but I promise it's accurate. Ryan gets it.
Yeah.
I do get it.
I am 100% ADHD when it comes to plotting. I don't need to see the regional manager to the flies. I need to see the lord of the flies immediately. Okay?
You but were the he first does that. Honor to eat a cheek for sure.
Correct. Correct. I'm
Let's
the one who's
be
like,
honest. It's been 36 hours. Let's
get down to it. Like, what? We only have 12 cans of beans left. Just eat the guy who points that out. Be like,
this is
you're
why
the
you
one.
Can't travel with Spencer. If there's like a 5-hour airplane delay, he's like, all right, I can tell which one of you is weak, and the knife's coming out right now. I don't care that we're in Terminal C.
Hold still.
No, all you have to do is this is why you safety pin a Kraft single to your collar and he won't go near you.
That's the best Ooh. Thing about Heath Ledger's Joker is that he walks in and he does that for me in the movie when he's like, and that guy there is a squealer. I'm like, yes, yes, thank get you. Him out of the way. Save this tedium plot. Just go ahead.
Not Spawn. Anyway, not Spawn.
All of the profanity should be exactly like Grandpa Jones, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, kisses and butterflies. I shot Billy Bats.
Right? Like, they should all be.
This is like not that. How I remember the Grapes of Wrath, which sucks.
The best part is I think Grandpa has like 3 sentences of dialogue in the whole thing, and I'm like, I fucking hate that guy.
That's. I don't think there's anything in here for you to explore.
No.
Like, internally. And no, I'm glad that you're not thinking about it.
Not one goddamn bit. It's very hard for me to tell my kids not to cuss, by the way, because, I don't know, it's my job.
I was trying to think of a good story, a good cussing story involving my nephews, your sons, and it's just a bounty of choices.
My favorite is still
favorite is still the littler one in the car.
Yeah, when he was like, I'm gonna
the
say
one
it.
Who was the one who was have you told the story on the show when he was like holding yes. you hostage with yes. threatening yes. to cuss?
Yes. Yeah.
And the problem is that
didn't he want beer? Wasn't that
yeah,
part
he wanted
of
beer.
Or something?
He was demanding beer on the way to school.
This was the same week where he was like, we've been watching a lot of like From Earth to the Moon. We're in like very early NASA phase with this young nephew's development. And this results in him like running around the house saying things like, I'm going to send a gallon of piss to the moon. And
which he did say the other day. He's like, yeah,
that happened.
Honestly, so, if Ron DeSantis gets a hold of this, he's like, I like the cut of this kid's gym. He doesn't do what school tells him to.
Yeah, he's blonde and blue eyed. Ron DeSantis will love him.
He's going to be like, Florida needs to send a gallon of piss to the moon. That's what Florida will do under Ron DeSantis.
It's time to show the moon who's boss. Yes, why are we right. keeping all our piss here on Earth? That's where we live. The
we
moon should be
territory.
Taking on more of our piss.
From Jupiter to the moon. Jupiter, Florida, that is, where I will establish a spaceport.
I'm taking all of Florida's Medicaid funding and establishing a pipe of piss to the moon.
The moon is literally getting a free ride.
That's true.
Oh, shit.
Don't point out that we are too.
Doesn't
right?
even provide its own light.
Just blame it on the moon. Yeah. It's stealing
welfare queen
stealing satellite. Our light.
Controlling our periods.
Mm-hmm. controlling all our personalities.
You don't tell me when the waves happen. I decide that.
Yeah, I'm tired of having my surfing schedule controlled by a piece of rock orbiting our planet.
Sorry, since this is just a child episode.
Piss.
Since this is now a child episode, I have to tell another favorite niece story, which is her standing knee deep in the Atlantic Ocean as waves smack her in the face. And I guess we had been watching 24, which is because it was about that time. And every time a wave hit her, she would scream, "Tell me who you work for." So like she had the roles reversed, but she was like every time it hit her, she was like, "Give it up, you're out of options."
Tick, tick, tick.
Like the logic there is like you're wearing down the ocean. The ocean is like
that's right.
She won't budge.
And by virtue, really, you're wearing down the moon. The moon will confess.
That's right.
Its sins.
Ultimately, the moon will say, "I gotta get this ocean further up along the beach." But
God, I'd rather
the
gallon of piss than this indomitable daughter.
I'm pulling as hard as I can, but the ocean isn't where I want it.
7
and
hours
now
later.
She's peeing in the ocean. No!
Now there's more of you.
There's so much more to pull now.
I'm going to wait 7 hours, and that coward's going to dip over the lip of the horizon, and I'll have won again.
I'll have more bits in the morning for you, you piece of shit.
I could do this all day.
I could make piss all day.
As soon as the ocean recedes, I'm going to drink 10 Capri Suns, you son of a bitch.
I'm gonna get 9 Doritos Locos Tacos and 3 gigantic beverages of Mountain Dew.
I'm gonna shit in the ocean, you scumbag freeloader.
Oh God!
All this time we've been flying to the moon to conquer it. Just shit in the ocean.
Make it heavier. Pull the moon out of orbit.
That's right.
Moonfall. This would have been way better than what they came up with for the actual Moonfall movie.
This is the Moonfall. What happened?
Crushing disappointment.
I haven't been able to see it.
There is no bigger Roland Emmerich fan than I, and this is his worst. This is it's just.
Can I ask a quick request for the listeners? If you are, an astrophysicist, if you can tell us how much poop we have to put in the ocean to pull the moon out of orbit, please let us know.
Wait. No, we have a problem. Like, matter can neither be created nor destroyed, so we're ultimately always talking about the same amount of mass, right?
But if we concentrate it in the ocean.
From the land to the ocean.
Okay, so then we pull the Earth into an asynchronous orbit?
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah.
If
we put it all if we fill the Marianas Trench with poop, what happens from an orbital standpoint?
Folks, you may think we're silly, but I didn't want to play this voicemail because I thought it sounded too much like fluffing myself up. We did get a voicemail from a hydrologist that said I was strangely almost exactly correct when I was characterizing hydrological fingerprints in bodies of water. So, yeah, eat it. We're scientists.
How many dollars of Taco Bell would it take to fill the Marianas Trench?
There we go.
With food or poop?
Processed.
Ultimately, food. It's all the same thing.
Okay, that's true.
Pre-poop, a.k.a.
processed food. Yes, that's what we'll call it. You mean the stuff sold in the cardboard boxes at grocery stores? No, I mean processed. Processed by me is what I mean.
That's going to be my business. I'm going to start
the factory that is my body.
I'm just going to take empty septic trucks and I'm going to go around and I'm just going to go around asking for people's poop, and people are going to be like, "What's this company got going on? What are they doing? They got to have something."
Yeah, no. I think a person who looks and dresses the way you do should do this plan.
Yep,
big, terrifying septic.
Septic tanks, right? Only houses with septic tanks.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Yeah, and we'll be like, listen, we'll go around and do this. And they'll say, are you going to take this to a disposal site?
Okay.
Great question, Ryan.
Step two, build a lot of social buzz, right?
He's going to get venture capital now. He's figured it out.
No, you're on the way. Some sock puppet accounts that are like, listen, I love Porta Poop. They really did something new and unique in the space.
Poop influencers.
Yes, poofluencers. Yeah, we're going to do a bunch of that. And then that's when VC comes sniffing around. They're like, listen, I don't know. You got to tell. Yeah. You got to tell me your secret.
Honestly, even this is a better idea than Not Woke Bank.
Yeah.
Man.
This is a better idea than
what I do after 5 p.m. in my home. It's not of concern to the Wall Street Journal.
Movie Pass? Come on. Movie Pass got a lot of money.
Wells Fargo, you're so woke.
I'm tired. I want a bank that openly screws me. That's what I want. I want a bank that's not sorry
when it gets caught screwing over black people for home loans.
Fannie Mae, why does your website advertise credit risk transfers? You know what that acronym is? Woke Bank.
That's right.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. The signs were there all along.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
I'm actually shaken by this.
This goes with my Governor Knife campaign, where I will rename myself.
Is he running alongside incumbent homophobic Country Ham?
Yeah, no, I'm going to beat him. I'm going to beat him farther to the right. Right,
okay. My
promise will be to eradicate every citizen in this state. I'm just going to be the least woke, most hard right governor on the planet, where I'm like, the enemy is us, and the person who's going to correct it is me.
You've gone all the way back around to
I like this idea, but I think you should ease into it a little. Like, I think you should say, my proposal is that all government documents will also be knives. So your driver's license, that's a knife. Your passport, that's a knife. Your marriage certificate, that's a knife. Tax bill, That's a knife. Mm-hmm. Your license plate, that's a knife. And then through the natural process of having all these knives around, you will eventually reduce the population. But we'll I don't think safer. You can lead with eradication of humans.
We'll be safe. No, we'll no. See. We're going to... No, see, I'm like, that's typical DC insider talk. Beltway
yeah. wanting no, to... No, my is, concern
You don't
is
know
that
the way folks around here... Traditional yeah. values.
Trying to tell us how to think.
So
traditional
forth.
Values. You know, the easiest way to cut wasteful spending? Kill our citizens.
Cut is to cut kill people.
Cut people. We got way too many people on the payroll. We need to bring it down so hardworking citizens mm-hmm. can die the swift deaths they need to die. Governor Knife is going to bring this state into line.
Are there no prisons, no poorhouses? Hi, I'm Spencer Hall.
Yeah. That's it. You want to abolish prison? I'll abolish prisoners.
I just feel like your eradicate all human life really goes against our previous idea, which is put as much poop in the ocean as possible.
No, these two things are totally compatible.
They all poop themselves when they die.
We're gonna squeeze people for all they got.
That's
extrude
right.
America.
Yeah,
you
we
are a tube
about...
of toothpaste that will bring the moon to its knees.
I want to liquefy America, but not too liquidy.
I want to unleash the power of the market on a commodity that finally has its day. That is human flesh and blood and poop. It's
That's
all
Peter
market.
Thiel.
Don't
You're
tell
just
me
describing Peter Thiel.
Don't tell me what. Who do you think's going to give me money? Don't tell me what to do with my body or the multiple bodies I have in the garage. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
My body's my choice.
Governor Knife.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team. Really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy, and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called the Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute, because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Is this a good time to talk about Ole Miss?
Yeah, let's do it.
Speaking of people who have already embraced my platform, the state of Mississippi, actively trying to kill.
Why, did I miss something?
No. It has dawned on me recently. So our friend Alex McDaniel hosted a Twitter space the other night where basically Ole Miss fans got together and had like what was kind of an interesting therapy session about like, is Ole Miss no longer this like dick-tripping WAOM? Like,
God,
is
it makes
that
me nervous
phase
just listening to it. Like, why would
right
y'all do that?
But like, is Ole Miss, I don't mean in the football sense, because I don't think that part is true. Is Ole Miss in like the best emotional place you can be as a football team, where they haven't lost, but also nobody has exhibited anything close to expect? Like, nobody has bought into Ole Miss at a national level. You see people, you know, Tennessee beats Bama, and there are already people who are like, Tennessee's the number one team. Tennessee's the national championship. Like, the expectations are there now. There are no expectations. Like, Ole Miss is in this weird place where they and Lane Kiffin are good enough that they can succeed, but everybody kind of, like, there's a hint of, like, oh, I don't believe any of this. That fuck-up can never get it done. And so, like, they never have to deal with, like, the A&M level expectations of, like, well, you didn't win the West, so you're a piece of shit.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, have they kind of found the perfect medium in between place where they don't suck, but nobody cares if they're, like, they're not required to be awesome?
For now, yeah.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
it's either you have a very successful year this year, and then your expectations go way up next year, and then you don't hit them, and then everyone panics.
Think about the fact that Lane Kiffin has enjoyed a tremendous amount of success at Ole Miss, and at the same time, constantly sort of in a kind of trolling, kind of not way, hints at, like, taking other jobs, but not in the way that, like, gets you in trouble like Justin Fuente did or Scott Satterfield did. Jimbo couldn't do that. Jimbo couldn't, like, tweet out something about, like, here's me, you know, at the Chargers stadium.
Recruiting in Knoxville, yeah.
Yes, but, like, Lane can do all that shit because once you've established yourself as a troll, you don't ever have to not be that.
Yeah. It's also, I don't know. So their win total, Vegas win total this year was 7.5. They're 7-0 already.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, it's very close to house money. Of course, that doesn't apply if you lose 4 in a row to close the season, which they could.
Yeah.
But, like,
we really don't. I mean, Jason, do you feel like you know how that's going to go? Like, have any confidence whatsoever in what the next 4 games are going to look like?
Yeah, I mean, I make fun of the difficulty of the SEC, but, like, they are the very rare 7-0 SEC team that almost hasn't played anybody. Like, Kentucky is probably a top 30 type team, right? But, like, other than that?
Is it fucking up all kinds of things if I say the team that I think is next on that list is Georgia?
In terms of ain't played nobody?
I didn't mean to change the subject. It's not so much as ain't played nobody as it is that I don't think we've
seen... That's a good podcast title. We should steal that. Anyway, sorry.
I don't think
I'll research that.
Whoever Georgia is this season, I don't think we've seen it yet, and therefore I feel like I have very little idea what to expect from them.
I have one question.
I feel like I've not seen them have to play a complete game yet.
I have one question that makes me push back on that, and that is the Oregon game, because the Oregon game, I think we all immediately reacted to that in terms of just, like, the reaction was, oh, Oregon sucks, Oregon's a fucking wreck. Oregon doesn't appear to suck. They you know, they're maybe not, like, playoff material, and they probably have another loss in them here or there, but they don't suck, and it feels like we should put some more weight into that than we did.
Would that be overweighting a week one game, though?
It could be.
Especially with... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, like, in my opinion, like, every week sort of counts equally.
Okay.
Like,
and
just
mathematically, that is true as well.
Well, sure.
No, it is.
It is literally true. But, like, we do often... Not us, but, like, college football people tend to overrate week one so much that I think there's a temptation to, like, over-counter that, you know?
That might be what I'm, like, doing, yeah.
Georgia beat the fuck out of a legit top 25, top 20 team. Like, 46 points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, looking at what they've done almost every week, except for Mizzou and half of Kent State, is, like, exactly what the best team should have done.
Like, I guess what I'm saying is Georgia's win over Oregon right now is better than any of Ohio State's wins.
And I'm not knocking Georgia, to be clear. I feel like I don't, because they have not yet had, Georgia has done everything that Georgia has wanted to do.
Yep.
Have you guys seen a team that made Georgia do something they didn't feel like doing for even a series yet?
So you know what's, you're right.
Like, that's what I want to, I,
But this is the
I'm not wording this right.
I think you are, but this is the exact same way we used to talk about Alabama, like 5 years ago, Alabama.
Right. That's and because so much of what else is going on at Georgia, it reminds me of Alabama a cycle ago.
Right.
Maybe that's why my brain is going here, but I feel like I don't know this Georgia team yet, and it's mid-October.
So does that mean they need to suffer the Alabama loss that brings everything into focus, or does it mean it doesn't matter?
Good. We haven't had to see them hustle yet, right?
Sure.
Is that what I'm?
I mean, they had one, the Missouri.
We can cut all this out. By the way, because I feel like a fucking idiot. But I feel like I don't.
I like when we sneak football talk on the listeners when they're not expecting.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't have a bead on this Georgia team yet, which is weird.
Some of that is, I think, Holly, that the schedule, the natural beats in the Georgia schedule, like Georgia should have played Tennessee already.
That's part of it. Yeah.
And it's that combined with the fact that Georgia already played Auburn and nobody cared. Nobody cared in the slightest. And it's not, we've talked about this before.
And that game should have been, you know, that game should have been Thanksgiving or the week before Thanksgiving. And,
right.
Sorry,
right.
2 weeks before Thanksgiving because you have to warm up for Tech. Yeah.
But
there's also like looking at the undefeated teams, which there are, we're getting close to there being like weirdly not many.
Yeah.
The hardest team Georgia's played is Oregon. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, the hardest team Ohio State has played is Notre Dame, which is
if you want to get real into the weeds, looking where Marshall has gone since that game. Yikes.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, like Notre Dame is nothing special this year. The hardest team Michigan has played is Penn State and beat the fuck out of them. All right. Let's not leave Michigan out of this conversation just yet. Mm-hmm. Clemson. They're Wake Forest, okay, sure. Took it to overtime. Had to go to overtime. Ole Miss, again, Kentucky, sure, fine. TCU, Oklahoma State in overtime. Honestly, Oklahoma State is like, it's not a bad schedule there. UCLA beat Utah, okay, pretty good. But like, there's no undefeated team that's been like super tested to this
right.
point.
Funny is Michigan gets all the shit for this. Everybody's like, Michigan has
every single year.
But it's kind of, this year it does happen to be a little bit like, yeah, there has not been a plethora of evidence for any of the undefeated teams, which is like part of why it's not all of why they're undefeated, but like there are some interesting one loss and two loss teams that had like hard schedules to play.
And I know we're only halfway there, but I think Jason and Ryan, you were both getting at a better way of what I was trying to say, which is I don't think I've seen this Georgia team above third gear yet. Does that make sense? And I don't know where their – I don't feel like we know where their ceiling is.
Sure.
And which given like the conference they play in, maybe it all just does come down to this being a really weird scheduling year. But I feel like I don't know that team at all.
I think there's a lot of cards on the table. We haven't seen them yet in terms of
like,
what they'll do under certain circumstances. For Georgia, to me, the interesting thing about them and the thing that I haven't seen, I know that they have tight ends who are more than capable of splitting a game open if they have to. But if you hammer down on them, and that's a big if because they got at least two dudes who can't be covered one-on-one at tight end. All right. But despite having those tight ends, their run game hasn't been exactly what you think it would be. They haven't been, you would go, oh man, Georgia's running for like 250 yards a game. No, man, like yards per attempt, Ole Miss, Florida, and Alabama are all better than them. So that to me, like they're good, that they're not the best rush offense. And how many receiving touchdowns has their leading wide receiver had? He's got one. That's it. Ladd McConkey has won. Ladd McConkey is your best option at wideout. So, you know, offensively, they're good. I don't think they're what everyone thought they would be at the beginning of the season because, yeah, we overweight week one and they absolutely clobbered Oregon. But the end of the season, to me, they get two tests. They get Kentucky and they get Tennessee.
They get Kentucky in Lexington in November, and I don't feel like like that's the game I want to go to. I don't feel like a lot of people still understand what it's like to play in that stadium in November. It's terrifying.
The way I see it is like all of the undefeated teams, like literally almost all of them will just work themselves out. Georgia, Tennessee, Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, Syracuse this week, UCLA, USC. Who the fuck saw that
coming? I feel
like
we spend so much of every year waiting for Clemson and Syracuse to work each other out.
I was
going to
say, Jason, could you repeat that ACC one more time so my ears
Well, that would, of course, be
every
traditional
syllable.
Football heavyweights, especially over the last decade, Clemson and Syracuse.
Just like we drew it up.
God, that sounds so good. So good.
Anyway, the reason I jumped there from Ole Miss is, like, I feel like there's a kind of... with the obvious exception of my own team, and maybe that's just because it's what it looks like from here, but I feel like there's a lot of chill permeating the undefeateds, and I don't know. That's just not somewhere I expected myself to find after week 7.
For now. I think part of it is like so many teams have lost. I think we are ahead of the usual pace on teams that have lost. So like if you haven't, you're feeling really fucking great. Yeah. Like usually also, this is the time of year where there's like 12 or 13 undefeated teams, you know? Mm-hmm. So you're like arguing we should be above those guys and all that shit. But like this year, if you're undefeated, you're doing awesome.
There are also not I this is off the top of my head, so it could be totally wrong. With the exception of the Big 12, there are not that many frisky teams right now. Illinois is a frisky team. Like I'll give them, but there are not like who is a frisky team in the SEC? There's Kentucky. There's Mississippi State, depending on the week.
Does that mean like a team that's not probably not going to the playoffs?
A team that you're like they're going to lose 3 games, but like this is Pitt a lot of years. Pitt is a frisky team where it's like I don't think they're going to go undefeated or play for a conference title. They won the conference last year, obviously.
It might be West Virginia this year, which is not in the SEC, but that's
right. But like the Big 12 has a shit ton of almost every team in the Big 12 is a frisky team.
Even West Virginia is, I mean, like, they're having a terrible year, but that's a top half of FBS team.
Right. Yeah. Like, the Pac-12 has Oregon State is a frisky team. Utah is obviously a frisky – but, like, it feels weird saying Utah is a frisky team when they won the conference last year.
Utah can be both 12-0 and frisky.
Imagine an at-at capering through a field of wildflowers. That's Utah.
Yeah.
But,
frisky like a rhino.
But like there are usually more teams that play this role in the Power Five conferences, at least, where it's like, okay, this team is too flawed or too unbalanced to contend for its division, but it could fuck you up on the right day in the right set of, like, that's sometimes what NC State has been in years past, or that's what Louisville has been in years past. Now it's just like they're just okay.
I don't know. I think this is a year where that is almost every team. Like, Louisville has knocked out UCF already. Right, yeah. Like,
did you
UCF
watch that game, though? That game just fucking sucked.
Oh, it was terrible. It was awful. But remember, one way of doing that is to turn the game into an absolute turd fest. Okay?
Yeah.
I may be saying like, this
Pitt
ahead of the Ohio State-Iowa game.
if Pitt is the benchmark for Frisky, Frisky is allowed to look like shit.
Okay, yeah. I will also say Florida State is probably the frisky ACC team this year. Florida State like can play long enough in every game and does enough interesting things in both directions emotionally.
Which I'm sure they're
the frisky
about.
Team. Yeah.
I'll put Wake in there as well. And UNC. Okay.
Yeah.
UNC can put 70 points on you while giving up 72.
Sure. I'd like to offer Duke. I think Duke is very, very frisky.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
ACC's kind of frisky. Not as frisky as the Big 12, but...
No, right. This is wild. Right. I'm looking at the...
But I think, like, the SEC and the Big 10 specifically, like, very little going on there. It's mostly because, like, the Floridas and the Auburns and even, like, the South Carolinas, maybe the teams that you're like, oh, I don't know, that's, like, a weird night game. And it's, like, this year it's like, nah, you got that.
We did have a reader, by the way, call in to assert, without evidence or... really any notion of offering evidence that just says Shane Beamer does have a belly button ring.
Accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I accepted this without question.
It has a little lunchbox attached to it.
Since, do you know how many firing points? Jeff Collins in the computer ratings, Georgia Tech is up to 10th in the ACC.
Okay, sure. Sure.
Here they come.
Yeah.
They're like just a hair behind Miami.
Yeah.
That guy's bad, I think.
It's the worst. Dude, it's the most painful thing when the interim absolutely starts thrashing, because it means you were the restrictor plate. You were the millstone around the neck of this team.
Oh, we had, and let's not do the math. Actually, let's do the math, because it would be really funny. We had a Georgia Tech reader write in this week to talk about the impending Georgia Tech-Syracuse ACC championship game. I think Georgia Tech is currently 3 wins behind UNC. But, hey, Ryan, pull up North Carolina's remaining schedule.
I have it right here.
And let's see how we can do this.
Here's the crux of the issue.
I would like to entertain this.
UNC is 6-1 and leading the Coastal. Georgia Tech is 3-3, but they're only 2-1 in conference play. UNC's 3-0. So Georgia Tech is, in fact, like, in second place. And here's who Georgia Tech has left.
They still have to play each other, so.
They do. Georgia Tech has Virginia.
Well, yeah, caller, that would put kind of a cramp in your plans, I guess.
of the conference schedule, because, like, again, for these purposes, clean old-fashioned hate doesn't matter. UVA, at Florida State, at Virginia Tech, Miami, and their last conference game is at UNC. So that could be a game that is played for that. UNC has Pitt, at Virginia, at Wake Forest, and then the Georgia Tech game. And then after that, they do have NC State. So it is possible that something stupid could happen.
This is, man.
And UNC like, can
this is funnier than
no
I thought
one.
It was.
Correct.
Virginia and VT are very bad.
Yeah.
And UNC has to play like a couple good teams there.
Yes.
Yes. Impossible.
It is not. And this and like honestly, what a perfect fucking way for the ACC to like usher divisions out, and then for interim coach slash Georgia Tech to get an appearance in the ACC title.
It would be, God, it'd be the most powerful ACC moment of all time.
Yeah, if this happens, we're going right.
Well, like Wake Forest,
I'm definitely buying a T-shirt if nothing else.
Wake Forest is ranked like 12th and has to watch like fuck ass Georgia Tech in the conference title.
Yes, not just fuck ass Georgia Tech. Fuck ass Georgia Tech, who probably just lost to Georgia by 40.
Oh yeah,
congratulations,
interim fuck ass Georgia Tech that just skipped the Georgia game.
Yeah,
congratulations, Wake. You finally arrived in terms of football playing, and now you're kind of arriving as a program in terms of all the other fun shit you have to go through.
Yeah.
I have a.
Well, this
I have
is very
a,
educational for them.
I like also that we just skipped over the Syracuse part of this equation.
Don't worry about why. Okay. Why? Who does Syracuse have to play the rest
doesn't
of the way?
Matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Should I be concerned about this?
I would laugh so hard.
Well, that's
if they
even
went
funnier because like you could have Syracuse, Clemson, and NC State in like the top 20, and then Georgia Tech wins the conference at
if Syracuse
4-8.
Jason, I feel like you just poured. I feel like you just poured kerosene into my blood somehow.
If Syracuse wins out and they win,
I want this.
If they win out and they win the ACC title, and you wake up and after having missed the playoff announcement, and you refresh your screen and check the seeds, and you see that they are not one of the last four teams, you would not be surprised. If like college football completely forgot, right? Like, congratulations to undefeated Syracuse. Here's the Las Vegas Bowl.
I'm going to be honest. I wouldn't make Dwight Freeney that mad. I wouldn't do that.
Just spinning out of the closet.
That's a bad idea.
It's extremely agile.
Should we put Syracuse? No. No. We looked at the tape. We decided no. If you watch them play, I would not blame you for making that decision. Have you actually watched Syracuse play this year?
A little, yes.
This decade? No.
Doesn't matter.
Longtime Dino Babers enthusiast, yes, I have.
I've watched 3 of their games, and I will tell you this. Syracuse, I have no idea
how... Sorry for making you watch 3 of their games.
I have no idea how they're doing this other than good defense and Garrett Schrader just hitting the random play button.
It's early aughts Auburn. They're pulling out double coupons.
They are.
Like, you turn around and they have 17 points. You're like, huh,
you're
that's
like,
weird.
Do you know the name of one of their wide receivers? No. Do you know the name of their kicker? Andre Schmidt! Yes. Like, that's... they're that kind of team.
Sean Tucker is the truth, though. They have an extremely. It's almost like when Kenneth Walker was at Wake Forest. Like, what are you doing there, Sean? What are you doing at Syracuse?
Well, it's especially weird because you look at a Syracuse box score and you're like, there's only like two names here. Like, there's it's not considering how weird it is to see. Like, most of the time you look at a rushing box score and you're like, all right, 6 guys got carries. It's just like he got the ball.
It's a music festival.
For a year and he just ran it.
It's a music festival poster. You've got the two names across the top, and then you put the little baby name down below. Mm-hmm.
It's like. Well, when we were good, we just gave the ball to Ernie Davis and Jim Brown on every play. Let's just go back to that.
Yeah.
And
Syracuse returns to its roots.
Yeah.
If Syracuse rolls in at 13-0, And the committee says, I'm sorry. We're putting them in the peach. We're putting them in the which one is it? The Orange Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Syracuse fans, come on. You'd rather do that than go to the damn playoff. We all know this.
I will tell you what Garrett Schrader, to me, they go on the sideline and they tell him, you see the numbers over there, the 3 and the 0? Yeah. Somebody's going to be there. Multiple guys in your jersey are going to be somewhere. Why don't you just keep an eye out and see if there's any action going on there? And Garrett, that's the level that Garrett Schrader's playing at. Like, I'm just going to put the ball there, see if anything happens.
Very Kyle Bowler.
How is that not mean? It feels like it should be mean, but it's not.
Because I'm not talking about Kyle Bowler as a pro. That would be mean. Fair.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Incredible, incredible team. If they go undefeated, they will not make the playoff. I would put money on that not happening. They'd just be like, nah. And the ACC commissioner would say, I'm disappointed with the decision.
You can't do that to a journalism school. The articles, man.
But the AP no longer has any bearing on the playoff. That's so
true.
Too bad.
That's true. Uh-huh.
It's just the people in the room. That's all.
Imagine discarding the judgment of Ralph Russo for Gary Barta. I mean, Jesus Christ, what is wrong with this country?
Listen, Gary Barta is going to see a team with a great kicker and a good defense and an offense that is, sort of a file not found moment, and he's going to fall in love. He's going to be like, I've found Iowa's next head coach.
Iowa has a head coach, Spencer. What are you talking about?
That's true. He's never leaving. But if I had to hire somebody else, Kirk Ferentz with a gun to Gary Barta's head. I bet that's how Kirk's kept the job, is physical intimidation. He probably walks in every single day and pees on Gary Barta's car.
He does have kind of a Richard Gere look to him, which means he could be a crooked cop.
Just beats the shit out of his boss every day.
Every day he's just stone cold it. He just walks in and Vince is like, no! Stone cold!
It's his boss with the bedpan. Full of corn syrup.
Cracks two cans of water.
I'll take this nurse. Yeah.
Liquid death.
Hey, I have a question for two of you that is absolutely outside the bounds of this podcast, but I'm genuinely curious. I absorbed absolutely no information on Saturday beyond what happened to my own football program.
Which was?
You know that thing where we like to just repeat the first bar of a song over and over again for comedic effect?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody ever noticed that the first four notes of Rocky Top are the same? You thought the
listener,
whole song was
I know
bad.
Listener, I know you're thinking maybe that was Spencer. It was Holly who made
it. Anyway, I was super confident, and I thought I had data to back that up, that LSU was in no way gonna win that game. I didn't see a second of it, and I really thought, this is what I get for thinking seriously about a game. I thought Florida had it in the bag. What happened?
Florida doesn't play defense. Have you looked at Florida's defensive numbers?
Yeah, no. we are the worst third down defense in the nation.
In the country.
Wait, what?
Again?
Like actual worst?
Again.
No. Like
despite
we say
personnel
again
changes?
The Florida is allowing third down conversions at a rate of 52.58%.
Holy fucking shit.
That is
Colorado is 1% better than that.
Yep.
Arizona State is 4 points better than that.
Mm-hmm. 52.4. This is Akron from last year grade.
I'm sorry for making us talk about the Gators, but I was genuinely curious what on earth happened there, and I did not see a moment of it.
And honestly, I don't think it's a matter, like, I am a Florida fan, so my first instinct is to crack out the guillotine and fire somebody. I don't even think it's that. They don't have dudes who can play. They don't have anybody who can play linebacker besides Ventrell Miller, and that secondary has been porous all year, and they have no pass rush. So
the two Power 5 teams in the past 5 completed seasons with worse third down defense would be Kansas last year in 2017, Oregon State.
That
goodness.
Is correct. Now, yeah. Yes, to
that,
show
that
you
team
where
went 1-11.
Yep, to show you where we're at in terms of I can find hope by looking at X.
This just makes me feel even more unstuck in the SEC East.
Florida to me, I am now looking for the positive performances of Kansas football and Oregon State for hope.
Hmm.
Like, so
that's facts.
So
that's facts.
So yikes. LSU went 8 of 12 on third down. That's bad. But to make it worse, they went 2 of 2 on fourth down.
Yep.
So, yeah. Florida just does not play any defense at all.
No.
This year. And that's, and I think, like, honestly, that's fine. Whatever.
That's weird.
It's mostly, yeah, I mean, this year's a wash anyway. So, like, this is baby shambles.
Yeah, I'm not trying to bring you back into your, like, Florida's on the run of mediocrity shit. I was just like,
I got facts.
That was the one game that just jumped out at me from the schedule this last week, and I was like, oh, I know what's going to happen here, and then nope.
Like, to his credit, Jaden Daniels played an amazing game, man. Mm-hmm. He was good. Like, he was really good. Now, you could be like, hey, Florida can't defend at all. Steal it. Go ahead. It's not, like, take it. If we can't play it, go ahead and take it. So LSU had a very very opportunistic win at Florida because there was a lot of stuff left unguarded.
But like it's not an accident that USF almost beat Florida in Gainesville.
No, like, same thing.
I am not smart enough to tell you like what the issues are, but there's a lot of rot.
Same thing there. They would do one shift. Linebackers are in alignment. They would shift one person, and the linebackers immediately did the dazed expression from Animal Crossing when you're stung by bees, right? Like, like one shift, and it was all undone. All run gaps broken. That's exactly how it's supposed to work. So if
Gary Bohannon went in a box, and now we can't find him anymore.
Yeah, like they were all like our family dog who, when you covered the tennis ball with your hand, was like, what? Whoa! Like, that's... And it's part of that...
See, that makes it sound fun.
Part of that's...
It's fun for the offense.
It's fun for anyone watching who isn't a Florida fan. Yeah. Yeah.
Can we talk about a different team in the SEC East?
Please.
Yeah, I would love to.
So, Tennessee on...
All right. No, it's all right. Let's go.
So Tennessee, after spending 19 hours as the coolest team in American sports, AD Danny White decided that it would be a good time to release a call for fundraising from Vol Nation to pay for the two goalposts that were thrown in the river and or someone's garage or whatever. They make 50 fucking plus million dollars a year, and they need money for two pieces of equipment that every high school has.
Honestly, the most insulting.
I will speak on this. Okay, just unordered list of thoughts. This is not the first team I've ever seen, even in this conference, send out a general fundraising email off a big one, and that's actually what it was. If you clicked, this is a general fundraising email, which schools tend to do a lot. If you click through and look down at the bottom fundraising option, they are biting our charity bull strat and giving you the option to like donate based on the date, based on the score, based on the capacity of the stadium, which great job for y'all finally catching up to us after 12 years. See, I can confirm that upon walking the stage at graduation at Tennessee, they don't actually give you your diploma because my graduating class had 7,000 people in it. I don't know how they would organize that. They give you an orange tube that looks like it contains a diploma, but when you open it up, it's a welcome letter from the Alumni Association asking for money. So this is actually very in line with how they operate.
Congratulations on stop paying money. Yeah, would you like to pay more money?
This is actually very in line with how they operate. D, I'm not sure if I told you guys about the Texas. I'm on Texas Tech's fundraising email list. I don't know why. I don't know how I wound up there. I've never been to Texas Tech for a game, despite many efforts to do so. Texas Tech sent out a fundraising letter this summer announcing, I think this was in July, announcing a $200 million gift for Red Raider football and then asking people to donate money in the same email. So... But yeah, this is Danny White, so it's gonna look stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, none of that is to defend us. I'm just saying this is neither out of character for Tennessee nor out of character for college football. It is very funny to make them look like we are goalpost poor. Just send the bill to the Haslams, Jesus.
Every school does this every chance it gets. Yes.
Constantly.
But Danny White
every
has a special.
College in America does this.
Danny White is especially talented at making it look stupid.
It was
Danny White is like, a man built ground up from automated, weaponized cringe, and it's like he knows yes. it and he I loves
just,
it.
Yes. I just why wish... I think concealed. This is a longer. Sorry, Ryan. This is a. I think Danny White like soured me on Josh Heupel unfairly at the start, and that's easy for me to say now. But can I tell you what's finally given me confidence in him? And it's not the Bama win. It's over this season. He's lost so much stress weight, but his head is the exact same size. And that's also something that happens to me. Like, I'm just always going to be a pumpkin head on a body that fluctuates in size and volume. And that makes me feel comfortable around him. Like, okay, you're one of us.
My thing is this. The ask for this GoFundMe was what? Like 150 grand?
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're going to do this, just be fully shameless and be like, Tennessee Vol family, we need, like, we're so excited, but we need these goalposts to play our next football game. And that's why we need $15 million from you by the end of the week.
Vol okay, fans, so we only get paid every 2 weeks.
God, that, listen that, would, just, that would resonate.
If you could just float us, I promise we're going to get you back.
Yeah. If you literally just say, if you literally just say, we want money. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
want money. If you are lying about needing someone to buy equipment for you,
yeah,
you are going to lose the coolest team in the country.
Well, the first reply to that thread that I saw the night it happened, by the way, was a Tennessee fan whose name I forget. I'm sorry. It was nobody I like knew personally, who was like, I would actually prefer it if you just said, hey, we won. Give me 100.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But we won. You know what? That shit worked. They still yeah, no, did worked.
And also, like, one, do we want Danny White to have shame? No. That man got UCF to a national stage. You don't get UCF on any stage if you have shame. Uh-uh. Second, if you clicked on the email, right, if you clicked on the link and you got to the thing, obviously, like, a much more finessey pitch. That was
Which
not targeted.
Because I'm not on the alumni list for my own
That
school.
Was only targeted at one of us, right? Like, it wasn't, yeah. we're not the target audience for this, mm-hmm. right? So like everyone who wasn't
it wasn't targeted at me. I'm not on the list.
Right. And then the third thing is this.
Don't
right?
put me on the list. I know you're listening to this, Stephanie. Don't you put me on that list.
It is so, dude, this is so close to like the like President Smokey needs your help, Patriot.
Like it was 1000X so match.
Seriously, I would have done a better fundraising email for them for free. I would have done this. Do you know what
South Carolina wants to bring Sharia law to Tennessee unless you donate today?
You know what? I think
even
I'm gonna
like
make
Sherry.
Thank
That's
you
a
for,
track liquor.
Thank you
Smokey
for that
the
idea.
Dog is looking at his list of Patriots. Patriots right now, and he's heartbroken that he doesn't see your name.
I want you. Shit. I completely lost my train of thought. Because I did just open up Animal Crossing.
You can find our linebackers in there. They're being
friend
stung
of,
by bees.
Friend of the program and should be surprised to no one, Michigan enthusiast Ryan Henyard came up with, I thought, a much more appropriate way to celebrate the win. He donated $52.49 to American Coonhound Rescue, which is the organization that gave us the shutdown full hound. I thought that was very sweet. Everyone should follow his lead. Also, Tennessee, you've never done super great in the Charity Bowl, and if I don't see a leap in the standings, I will be approaching all of your mothers in church to find out why.
Oh, sorry, spring. Holly, but we've run out of grass at Neyland Stadium, and we need your
President Smokey cannot be benighted by the barren dirt upon his paws.
I had better I had to buy, see your broke asses contributing.
Nancy Pelosi wants to ban orange as a color.
Okay. Honestly, putting Pelosi in there might do it.
Stacey Abrams is going to invade Tennessee for Soft our water.
What is the most, like, what's the flossiest goalpost you can get, though? Like, if you get...
One with lasers, like Jimbo wants.
Yeah, orange lasers? Oh, listen... Like, orange lasers would be very flossy.
If Tennessee got goalpost lasers and only turned them on when A&M came to Knoxville, just
but
to
turned them off.
Jimbo.
But turned them off when A&M is kicking.
The answer is made
oh,
of
that's
bones.
Beautiful.
If you had goalposts made of bones...
Ooh, that's ooh. Very
bones
Warhammer.
Of an elephant. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Or what if we... what about bones or goalposts that are cigars? Just puffing Saturday victory.
That when you... win when
can
you
they light
buff,
every time you like right? make an extra point? They burn down. They burn down every time you win slowly and smokily.
That actually like, sounds
like,
about right.
Like, what are those, that kind of candle that, like, yeah, it, like, burns down mm-hmm. from within.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good plan.
That's how my cousin died. He was incinerated by them goalposts.
The EPA doesn't want Tennessee to have its well-earned victory goalposts.
He was on a trampoline at the time. He was on a trampoline at the time, but that's neither here nor there, nor on the trampoline as it happens.
Check the standings, Vols. It's first-hand smoke this week.
Oh, God. Y'all, Harry Lyles was down in that shit, and he did not smoke or partake of a cigarette and said he woke up the next morning just hacking from, like, as he smoked at least a cigarette's worth of secondhand inhaled cigar smoke, and so he just woke up feeling like death.
There were shots from the stadium, like, far away with, like, just gigantic cloud of smoke, and it's like, I'm pretty sure that's from fireworks, but I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure.
Well, it's not all from fireworks, because remember, if you look, the fireworks are on the upper rim of the stadium around the outside.
It's like, all over, a huge cloud over the stadium. So, like, most of it's fireworks, I think. The fact that I have to say, I think...
Younger listeners, this is what it used to just smell like to go out to dinner at Bennigan's.
It's true. It's true.
You used to, the day you knew you were a grown up was when you had to tell a host or hostess, non-smoking, please.
Non-smoking.
So my younger son has been going through old World War II movies, and I've managed to sneak some submarine movies in there because remember, all movies about the sea are dope. Yes. And in it, every time there's a shot of an older movie with a submarine in it, everyone on the submarine is smoking. Like, in a submarine, they're like, nutritious cigarettes.
It's stressful, man. You gotta do something to cool out. You're in a pressurized tin can.
It's probably it's like an efficient weight, like stocking a submarine, you gotta be really conscious of the weight, whereas like a carton of cigarettes, very small, and everyone gets to enjoy it.
Curbs and your appetite too. We don't need as much food on board.
I was gonna say smokers use less oxygen.
Well, there's this. So submariners,
I think we need more smoking on submarines. Damn it!
See, they get the best food.
I'm Governor Knife.
Right, Governor. I'm Governor Knife. This submarine's gonna be lurking at Lake Lanier, ready to kill you.
Lake Lanier just became more dangerous. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh no.
We wanted to make Lake Lanier more dangerous. Some of you were saying, "Oh, what if the submarine sinks when the ghosts grab it?" I want them to grab it. We're going to fight them ghosts.
I'm going to put my cigarette out that ghost's eye hole.
We're going to make more ghosts.
You lightweights have been dying in regular Lake Lanier. It's time to step it up.
I'm going to abolish speed limits because, one, the government can't tell you what to do. And, two, if they do, it should be you should die.
Speed limits are math, and that's a choice you should make at home.
You think you're better than me by showing me math?
Who says base 10 is what I have to live by? Not you.
All speed limits are homeschool math now.
Oh boy!
I was
how fast were you going? I was going Jesus miles per hour.
Why is this speed limit sign just
faith over fear is my speed limit?
Jesus is my co-driver. That's why I'm going 150.
Jesus is my gas pedal. Let's go.
Oh, man. I saw somebody, by the way, living what I have to assume is one of the most southern experiences on the planet, which is they were pulled over on the side of I-85 in a construction zone where I know this dude had passed me doing like 105, and he was pulled over by a South Carolina state trooper. And I'm like,
I didn't know they pulled anybody over on that stretch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've never seen anybody be pulled over. I thought you have to be listen, this stretch of 85 in South Carolina, it was my understanding and always has been my understanding that you have to be actively murdering someone on the road to get pulled. I really was not aware that stretch of South Carolina has always been like Wyoming to me. I was not aware speed limits existed.
As Governor Knife, I promise nobody will ever be pulled over on that road for anything.
Cerber, back me up. That's just outlaw country, right?
Yeah, upstate law, that's what they call it.
Governor Knife says everyone has to use that road.
Fuck, where is that CBS procedural? There's no investigations.
You could be going 111 miles per hour, and someone will come up behind you, ride your ass, and blink your lights to get over.
It's insane.
Get the fuck over, man!
I've never seen King Ranches drive as fast as I have in South Carolina.
Where are they going?
to Gaffney.
out of South Carolina.
I got damn it, Augustus, just over there.
I got to look at the pass.
The promise.
I got to get to Gaffney.
I got to jack off on the water tower. Tuesday. Going for my normal Tuesday water cooler we're about. Don't make it weird.
Go see the glories of Raleigh.